are over. One of you guys, Carrie or Rob, maybe you could send him a little text or something. So Nikki, let's go live.
Yep, go ahead.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is October 19th, 2020, and we are calling to order the Big Tent Committee meeting of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. We have at least one task today, which is to look at, to try to come up with a final draft of our living plan that we will be voting on Friday. And hopefully we'll have time to address a document that goes with it, which is our the commission statement, which is sort of a preface to the plan. It more talks about, you guys all know what it is, but it talks about kind of why we're doing this and what we're trying to achieve. We're gonna be working today off of a draft, which most of us just got this weekend, which Commissioner Thorburn, thank you very much, did a ton of work on. And so I hope everybody has it. It's the strikeout PDF version of the plan. Some of us like me don't have a particularly good Word, Microsoft Word program. So the one where the edits are off to the right doesn't work, but the strikeout one works perfectly. So I don't think this is going to take as long as everybody may think, given the number of edits that Kim made to the plan, because most of them simply improve the grammar, the syntax, the tense. And by the way, Kim just hates the word that. And so I noticed all the way through, those, a lot of us, me included, don't know exactly when to use who and when to use when and when to use that, and Kim does. So that is the bulk of the changes that are made to this plan. That said, I think we should, there are a few issues that we need to talk about, and I think we'll be able to get done well within our allotted time. So with that, those are my opening comments. Does anybody else have opening comments before we dive into this thing? Kim, are you trying to talk?
Well, no, I wasn't. There are changes, not so much. There are some changes. And I grouped them into two areas that were concerns as we've gone through the drafts of the plan. One area regards the language that about values that kept saying reflecting values, basically. We acknowledge that there are diverse values that the public holds regarding fish and wildlife. These values are a spectrum, and at the ends of the spectrum, they're pretty polar opposite. And they're values, they're social and cultural values. Values are made up or derived from beliefs and attitudes. It felt like they were kind of driving a lot of what we were going to do in this plan, especially saying we're going to reflect them. There's no way that the department can reflect a spectrum of values that go from one end to the other that are polar opposites. We need to be leaders in fish and wildlife conservation and management. We will use values that support the ability to protect, preserve and perpetuate fish and wildlife now and into the future, and allows for sustainable opportunities But we're not going to reflect those values that are contrary to that. And there are values around fish and wildlife that are contrary to what ours are. I mean, our values are expressed in our conservation principles. And I've changed, and also I was disturbed that often the values were contrasted, those spectrums were contrasted, but the spectrum would be animal rights at one end and hunting and fishing at the other. And hunting and fishing is not an extreme value. That is very much what is part of managing fish and wildlife. When we talked about the extremes, I noted what the extremes were. What always made me uncomfortable in the development of this was, if we're talking about reflecting values and we're presenting these extremes, it feels like we're selecting certain values of the majority. And I think I react to it that way. And I think that it's quite possible that our traditional constituents, in fact, ones that I've talked to, as well as our rural communities react in the same way. And some of my changes deal with that area. And then the other area of concern was management of habitat and protection of ecosystems. And I'm getting a message, my internet is unstable. There were places that read like, we're gonna fix this with regulation. And especially with terrestrial habitats, the approach generally has been collaboration and cooperation, cooperative programs. The USDA has a lot of them. Our Department of Ag through conservation districts just got notice for Saturday. I wish I could go to a wonderful habitat improvement post-fire that's being handled by the Douglas County Conservation District. And Douglas County Conservation District has done a phenomenal plan for the county for habitat protection. It felt to me that we more were talking about going in and regulating rather than enhancing and improving on those programs and partnerships. So and those were the areas in terms of the actions where I made some edits. And Jeff and I had talked about some of that too. Most of my edits were more in the explanatory text than in actions. But there were a few in actions as well. I hope really that my edits capture better after many discussions. Of course, Carrie and Rob and Jeff, I'm sure they're really tired of me. The kinds of things that we've talked about in these discussions.
Thanks, Jim.
Commissioner Baker, can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Larry.
Commissioner Thorburn, all this work you've done sounds like it's really a deep dive into this, and I'm sure it's much appreciated. But those of us that aren't on this committee haven't received it yet. What is your strategy for, this being Monday, getting it out to the rest of the commissioners prior to our upcoming meeting?
Thought that would be something we'd decide if the committee wants to move forward with it.
Okay, thank you for that.
This is Barbara. Just to answer my opinion on that question, Larry, if we can get through this today and and make the edits that are necessary and come up with what amounts to a recommendation, then we'd ask the staff to turn around and send it to all the commissioners as soon as possible. I don't think it would be a huge amount of work. I'm not sure. Carrie and Rob might disagree, but we have to also remember that this isn't just our strategic plan. This is thousands of people have literally touched this thing now. And so we agreed early on actually that the commission wouldn't be driving the bus. That said, we also acknowledged at that time that the commission would be the body that would be putting an imprimatur on the plan and saying, yeah, we're with this. And so this is our time to fine tune. But I do think that fine tuning is what we're doing here. And as I read the edits, I mean, as we talk about them, I don't see a whole lot of extreme left or right turns. Has Jeff made it on yet? Does anybody know?
Yes, he's on here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. So Jeff, I gave a little bit of an opener and Kim gave a little bit of an opener. And do you have anything that you want to say before we get started?
Sure. Many, many, many thanks to Commissioner Thorburn for really carefully walking through this document. And I think, you know, using her experience on the commission and what she's heard from the public statewide, but also in her area, and in trying to like put a, you know, 40-pound test through a little tiny needle. this took a lot of work, and I really appreciate that effort, Commissioner, and also for our conversations that we've had through this as we try to figure out, you know, you're right, the words do matter, and sometimes it can be really challenging to get all the right words in the right order in here in order to have this plan say what the public and the commission and the department need it to say. So many, many thanks for that. Maybe I stop there. Madam Chair, I don't know if your intention is to maybe kind of walk through some of these pieces that are, and maybe have a little discussion around the pieces that are more than just kind of the edit, or how you want to proceed there. I did make a few notes here because I know Commissioner Thorburn, you posed some questions in a couple spots too. So I have a little bit to maybe contribute to a conversation there if that's the direction you want to take.
So to answer your question, Jeff, yep, I'd like to come out of this with a document that we can all agree on. A question for you is somebody on your crew taking notes? Or, I mean, are we gonna, because I'm sure not.
Yeah, we have Rob and Carrie's on here too. You know, Carrie's team is really responsive and diligent in trying to get things turned around. So, Mr. Chair, you know, we feel pretty confident that we can get something to the full commission. Our hope is that we could walk through Commissioner Thorburn's edits and then maybe come out of that with some clarity about what the final draft to send to the whole commission would be for your consideration later this week.
Good. Okay, well, kind of fortunately, let me just see, Brad, Commissioner Smith, you're the only commissioner that hasn't said anything. Do you have anything you want to say before we jump in?
No, I digested quickly the edits that were put forward, and I have no, as you said, I don't think there's any hard right or left turns on them. So one of the, okay. You can wordsmith it ad infinitum, but, you know.
Okay, well, the kind of fortunate thing, I believe, is that, and okay, so let me just start this a different way. As we go through this, I have a pathway in mind, and there were certain things that I thought that we needed to talk about a bit more. And then pages and pages of edits, which were simply edit or grammar, use of words, breaking up paragraphs, that kind of thing. As long as I'm doing this, I'm just going to say I was fine with all the edits on that page and not talk about them at all. But if anybody feels differently and wants to dive deeper, please say so now. This is hard enough to do with three or four of us. It will be impossible with nine of us. So so does that work for everybody? And so then when where I was starting is, fortunately, a couple of things that we need to talk about are in the very first few pages of the document, as far as I'm concerned. For now, I'd like to, one more thing. Kelly can't be on this call because he is talking to ranchers in Eastern Washington about our grazing policies today. So I've talked to Don pretty extensively, and if I need to, I will try to paraphrase what he told me. Of course, that is subject to anybody who wants to check with him as he can't be on the call today. And then finally, Jeff, if something comes up that you've talked to Kelly about and you absolutely know his opinion and it differs at all from yours, or you want to ascribe it to him, please just say so. We can all check with him later. But starting with the director's letter, but starting with the actual draft there, and I am on page 3 of the strategic plan. There were some pretty significant edits to the paragraph that starts with, "We know more today about what is impacting fish and wildlife than we did in the past." So if this isn't the best way to track these things, let me know, because the problem with this is when you print off Kim's PDF, it's 41 pages long. The strategic plan is 28 pages long. So it's hard to go to page and line numbers. But this is page 3 of the strategic plan and page 5 of the printed copy. Kim, I'm sorry in advance. I don't want to use your name so much, but you were the editor. So we can just say the edited draft redacts quite a bit of that paragraph, adds a sentence, and then takes out a sentence that says, "As a result, not only are some iconic Northwest species being lost, but an abundance of animals, even common ones, are decreasing at alarming rates." Now, Barbara, to me, that seemed like something that should be kept in. Yes, Larry.
Is there any way that Nikki can put this on the screen?
I don't know.
It would be helpful if we could.
That's a good idea, Nikki. Can we share a screen?
Larry?
Yes.
I will try to send you, unfortunately it won't have the changes because the edited document and the track changes is too large to email, but I can email you one that has just what all the edited portions removed, and you can compare that to, you know, the current document.
I'd appreciate that
to you now.
I don't want to slow down the process, but I just thought if we could see it on the screen, it also might be helpful. So.
Let's ask Nikki. Nikki, do you have a copy of Kim's PDF?
I'm looking right now.
I'm going to get it to you right now.
Okay. Hey, y'all, I just sent it to Larry.
That would make the...
And Nikki, it's the one that you sent out to the Big Tent Committee this morning.
Okay. I just sent it to Larry. I don't know if he got it or not. It is a big document, but I did just send it to his email.
It would be nice if we could put this on the screen, though, because it wouldn't be us just talking. I think Nikki's looking. While she's looking, let's keep going.
Yeah, so, I did get it, Amy. Thank you.
So I guess my question, I thought that the line about the iconic species being lost, that line was pretty important, and I was wondering why it was removed.
I thought it was repetitive. That's the only reason I removed it. I don't have a problem with it. I just thought that it was covered and sounded repetitive, but it was not important one way or the other. It was in my mind more an edit than anything else.
Okay, thanks, Kim. Does anybody else have any comments regarding the changes that were made on that page? Jeff, in the middle of that paragraph, there is a clause that was removed that says basically that we understand, let's see, better scientific understanding, but it remains insufficient for today's realities as we observe the conversion of habitat at intervals affecting overall watershed connections, and they cannot alone ensure a persistence of Washington's fish and wildlife species. Is there anything about that language that is important to the agency or to the people who worked on this document?
Well, I do think that, this is why we're involved in net ecological gain conversations right now. So the land use Growth Management Act stuff really is looking at the balancing and the use of best available science, and the best available science doesn't always mean that it's going to result in what the resources actually need today and moving forward. And so this language in my mind is a little bit of a, hey, climate is magnifying the effects of the current health of the watersheds. And therefore we need to be looking forward. We need to be helping other people look forward to make sure that what we're doing as more people move here is also being mindful to not further unintentionally degrade the quality of habitat such that we are listing more and more species.
Okay, Barbara, I pulled it up. It's a little chunky around format, but let me know where I need to be.
Go a couple pages back up, I think, is where we are.
Can you go more back, right, please?
I think right there.
I think you got to make the font bigger if you can zoom in.
Okay, well, she's trying to say that, I'm going to say that I like the sentence that was added about improved public management, expanded collaborative, all of that. I like the idea of keeping the last sentence just because it's important to me. And I don't know that, I'd like to hear more about what we ought to do with the sentence just prior to the improved public management sentence. I don't really know how to, to go between Kim and Jeff. Kim, was there a reason that you didn't like the watershed connections line?
I wasn't sure how to it wasn't the watershed connections. It was, but remain insufficient for today's it was one of those red flag kind of statements that I talked about in terms of land use. I wanted to point out, So I was trying to make the point that we're not just going to come at this with laws and regulations. That was very helpful to hear what Jeff said. To draw out the importance of what's going on with growth management and better protection of watersheds, more awareness that we need to think on a watershed landscape level. So what I was trying to do was not red flag it, because when I read it, from a Eastside County Commissioner perspective, it was like, I could just see people reacting to that. That's where I came from. I was not specifically eliminating anything about the need for enhanced watershed protection and thinking at ecosystem levels.
So how's this for a suggestion? Because I see how the but is a little glaring. How about if we said, but may be insufficient for today's realities, etc. Instead of but remain.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Okay, did you guys get that? So it's going to read, have improved over time, but may be insufficient for today's realities. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep the next line, which Kim has added, which talks about collaborative and cooperative programs. And we're going to keep the last line about we're losing critters. That's it for that one. And actually, that was a big one. Nikki, what you had up on the screen was perfect, by the way. So can you go to page 4 of the the edited draft, or 6 on the, I don't know how to say it. How about the next page?
There we go.
That's it. Can you make it bigger?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm only saying this to have something to do while we're just sitting here. I'm not trying to nag.
No, it's okay. I'm not working in Pro, Adobe Pro, so it's making it a lot harder. But we're okay.
Okay, so the first part, again, I'm going to flag what jumped out at me. If anything jumped out at anybody else, please say so. But the first part of this page's edits was where Kim added for both consumptive and non-consumptive uses in a manner, sort of right down to the right at the bottom of the picture. And so I think that's what we've been trying to say, is that we aren't trying to alienate some of our stakeholders. I wondered if anybody else had a problem with that. What I thought we could do, and not use the dreaded consumptive word, because none of us have ever figured out another word for it, is put for all users or uses. But just wondered what people had to say, or if anybody else had thoughts about that.
I like what you just said, Barbara, for all uses. Yeah.
Kim, does that work for you? Does all uses work?
I had a feeling this one would come up, but I would prefer this language, but I could live with all language. There's a fear sometimes that I feel in actually strongly defending that sustainable use includes both consumption and non-consumption. There's a fear of the extreme animal rights position of anti-hunting. And we won't say very clearly that it's fine. I mean, harvest is part of wildlife management. It's done in a way that is sustainable. So that's why I like actually calling it out and being very supportive about it.
I guess I'll just throw out that I would suggest stakeholders or constituents. singularly. I just think that is a message that's better understood by all, and it covers the public, period.
Okay, two things. One is that this is the only place in this plan that we've used consumptive or non-consumptive. I get Kim's point, and we have talked about this since we started this thing. I just can't stand those words. It doesn't have anything to do with who's doing what. I like all uses a lot better, but if you're strong on it, Kim, I would be fine with keeping it in there. Primarily, that Don McIsaac also talked about, I just want to make the point that his edits, his participation in this so far has been limited to our letter, not the plan itself. Don submitted some edits to the letter. Bob Kehoe came and talked about strongly agreeing with Don's comments to the plan, which he hadn't made, but we all got the connection. But Don also wants us to make sure that we are letting the people who are consumptive know that we aren't trying to disrespect them in any way. That is also a concern that Jim Anderson has raised in the past. So someday we'll find a better word for that. But if that's important to you, Kim, I'd be fine with keeping it in there. Jeff, does that cause you guys any problems?
Not at all.
All right, then.
Yeah, and Barbara, if I could just add, you're right. It's icky. It's not great language, but it's very common usage, and people know what we're talking about in the world of fish and wildlife management when we use those terms.
Okay, so on this page, there's two more things that jumped out at me. One was taking out regardless of race, color, and natural origin at the bottom of sort of mid page. Let's see. Yeah. I suspect that there will be some consternation with this, given that in every, in the last few of the presentations that have been made to us, it's been noted that diversity is a big deal and a lot of people weighed in on that. So I would prefer to keep that in, but I wonder if either Kim or Jeff, in any order, has a comment.
Well, I'll comment. I feel that the issue of particularly racial equity and diversity is well covered in other areas, and kind of drawing it out for this particular statement, it sounded like we were sort of settling on, well, that's the diversity that we're talking about. And really what we're talking about here is a diversity of all the public. And I just didn't feel it was the place to draw it out. I mean, we've got actions that talk about improving our outreach and acceptance of racial diversity. And also, why did we pick race, color, natural origin, and income? There's a whole slew of groups in most affirmative action and protection laws. So I didn't quite understand why those four were selected. So that was my reasoning. It didn't feel like it belonged there to me. It is well covered, I feel, elsewhere in the plan.
Okay, good comment. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the most critical thing, because we heard from we heard this over and over and over internally, but also externally, about making sure that the services we provide and the outcomes that we're seeking is inclusive of all the residents in the state of Washington. So, you know, if that's covered effectively in other places, maybe more prominently in near-term actions, then I think we're good. I would just be worried about if it isn't, and we're pulling it out, then this is a common theme that we heard from staff and the public.
You know, Jeff, your phrase that you just said would replace that. Our services are available to all. Whatever you started your statement for, I think that would splice right in there, because I agree. I think it has to show up repeatedly, especially given this day and age. But it doesn't have to be, and I agree with Kim, you know, signaling out three categories here. But what you just said would fit nicely right there.
I think all, and not singling out, one other point is this sentence is about values, and then we're pulling out groups who probably you know, represent that spectrum of values. So that's another reason I didn't feel that it really fit pulling out these four particular groups who probably have this spectrum of values just like all the rest of the groups.
Can we somehow italicize or capitalize or whatever, accentuate the all in that line, to make the point that we're trying to talk about everybody, not just, you know, obviously regardless of race, color, and all the rest of it, but can we accentuate all in that line and stay true to the...
Commissioner Baker?
Sure.
One way to maybe split the baby is to something along the lines of environmental benefits to ensure legitimate access to the environmental benefits to the diversity of people, to Washington's diversity of people or something. I think all might, one of the challenges using all is that not everybody perceives that all includes them. And I think that's part of the problem with all.
So would you guys mind working on that a little bit? And there's only about five parts of this plan that we have to have this talk about. And if we have to, we could revisit it on Friday. Could you try wordsmithing that a bit? Because I liked what Jeff said too, but none of us remember what it was, because it's one of those things where you always say something and you can't replay it. But Nick can. Okay. And so then is that okay with you, Kim?
Yes.
Okay. So the word that jumped out at me on this page, and I, after listening to your opening, I now understand it, but it is the word dominion, which is just down the way from there, where instead of protecting fishing and hunting opportunities, you wrote beliefs of dominion. Dominion's another word like consumptive and non-consumptive that to me it's not a good word. But it may be the right word. Would you?
I struggled with that, and but it is, I you know, as I explained, animal rights is not the opposite of hunting and fishing. Animal rights is animal rights is one extreme, and it read that we were presenting hunting and fishing as the other extreme. And so I tried to come up with something. I looked up dominion to understand what, you know, exactly what it was saying. And it captures really the opposite. You know, it is claims of ownership and to do with what we what we want. And so it really is the opposite. And I tried to find synonyms. I really researched it and couldn't come up with anything else. So there it is.
Just makes me think of Canada.
That sounds a little political. Well, I get the point, and actually I agree with the point. Does anybody else have any comment about that particular word in that sentence? That's the end of the issues that I had with the edits on this page. And
nobody's going to know what the word means.
I'm wondering, I had a comment about the struggle that Commissioner Thorburn just described of, you know, Dominium. We don't always do a great job with our publications, but there are executive orders and training about plain talking. And I do worry about maybe even going back up to the serving the diversity represented in Washington residents. Not everyone will know that term. And so maybe Commissioner Thorburn, I knew where you're going, and this is a good catch, because you're absolutely right that fishing and hunting is not the other end of the spectrum. So I had in my notes to ask you all, what about replacing that with human domination over fish and wildlife or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's a good start. Yeah. It's a little bit, I mean, some of what we do, in order to have fish and wildlife survive now and into the future, because we humans are the hugest part of the ecology, both in terms of numbers and in the impact that we have, it really does require some, in fact, human domination over it. I mean, we put collars on animals and track them around and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So it's, it would be an interesting metaphysical discussion to have sometime, but I certainly could go for that. I think it draws the spectral ends. So I'm fine with that.
Well, I hear what you're saying. So what rings in my head is the difference between the human domination piece and what you said before. There's a component missing in the human domination, because it's really for the sole purpose of serving humans or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So
maybe we can think about it a little.
Serving humans, that's just like the Twilight Zone.
I just flagged those two places right there on the middle of this page as something for you guys to think a little bit about and see if you can come up with something. And get back to us, you know, soon. I mean, you know, with it before Friday. Okay. So that's good. If nobody else has anything on that page, the rest of that page, then, and feel free to say it if you do, and we can always go back. There's a few more, but really not much in my mind. I go next to page 5 of the strategic plan, page 8 of my printed copy, which talks about collaborative conservation, which is actually sort of the next real page. Yeah. Now, one of Don's things when he was commenting on our letter, and when I talked to him, he also was commenting on the plan, is he didn't think that we he wanted to make sure that we didn't, you know, the traditional stakeholder thing got dealt with. He wanted to make sure that commercial industries also was at least in the mix. And a big one was he wanted to make sure that the tribes felt that we included the tribes as many times as we can. That so when I read this and saw that that there was a period put after partnership and then the tribes and other natural resources agencies was omitted, I immediately thought of Dawn. Kim, was there a reason for that?
I couldn't understand why we were drawing out particularly the tribes and other natural resource agencies for partnerships. There are just so many other group. Why were we distinguishing these ones? And the next one does list all the, you know, a whole list of groups. So the next paragraph.
Jeff or Amy or anybody?
Yeah, I think there's a, while we may co-manage like salmon with the tribes, there's a lot of other work that we do with tribes and natural resource agencies along the lines of, you know, recovery efforts or, you know, introduction or reintroduction of species. So there's a, I guess our thinking was also not wanting to write a strategic plan where the tribes don't see them as being important enough moving forward could complicate co-management for us as well. So I have a note here to ask you all about maybe not striking that, but modifying it to say building new and strengthening old partnerships, including with tribes and other natural resource agencies.
Yeah, I would like that a lot better because particularly to me okay, so we're drawing them out, but then we're excluding others. So I would be happy with including, you know, to kind of draw it out. But particularly, you know, I think if we're not included in the natural resource agencies and tribes, a group that isn't, we're going, well, they're excluding us, you know, in this plan. It was the particularly. So including, I think, takes care of that in my mind.
All righty. Let's keep rolling then. We're going to say including unless anybody cares. The next thing that was raised that might need to be commented on is on page 10 of the strategic plan, which is under the strategy, proactively address conservation challenges. And then it says the current challenge. And then there's the language. And that's what we need to look at right there. We had language that says current regulatory systems discourage. Kim says, what regulations? So what do we think about that? Jeff, did you look at this?
Yeah, I've got a note here. You know, when we were writing this type of language, so I represent the director on the Forest Practices Board, and this is something that we run into a lot with spotted owl habitat, marbled murrelet habitat, lynx in some cases, where if I'm if I'm a commercial industrial forest landowner, I'm actually, if I grow habitat that's not there right now, I'm actually punished because then it's off limits. and so we just haven't struck the right balance with long-term incentives that keep landowners safe if they agree to grow habitat or have in TNE species show up on their landscape. So land use laws do similar things. If you have a species, then for the most part, there's a little bit of management options depending on the type of species and the habitat. And in my opinion, ESA in many cases also is a disincentive for landowners to let you on there to find the critters or delineate the habitat, let alone grow it.
So Jeff, could we flag this for a little bit of work then? Because now I did not understand. I just plain old didn't understand what you're talking about. I'm real familiar now with what you're talking about. A great program. I've been thinking about going through this, the Sagegrass Initiative that was started well before the 2015 not warranted decision, but and then all the CCAA work that goes on. A lot of our and I'm out with rural landowners who are worried about having sage grouse on their property, but then SGI comes along, the Sagegrass Initiative, and creates all these incentives. And it works really, really well. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's not captured in that language for me. But now I know what you're talking about.
Would it work to add some of our current regulatory systems discourage landowners? I think that gets to the gist of what this sentence is trying to say without.
What if we said current regulatory systems or existing regulatory systems may discourage landowners from growing and maintaining mm-hmm. habitat?
Mm-hmm. I think that's fine.
Really what we're trying to do is do it, what I hear you talking about, Commissioner Thorburn, like how do we elevate the profile of incentive programs so that we are, you know, regulatory has its own role in conservation or land use or stewardship and management. But the incentives are the typical pathway to get, you know, people to want to do conservation and stewardship on their land while respecting private property rights and all the other constitutional things that we also navigate with landowners.
Yeah, I think that's much better. May or can, either one, acknowledging that regulation. What I see you're trying to do is acknowledging that regulation isn't always the way that works, and incentives is probably a better and more effective and longer lasting way of getting it done if we can, because we can, you know, enhance the partnerships and all. So, yeah, I think that improves it a lot.
Okay, so this is going to surprise everybody, but I think we're almost done with this. The next page that I flagged is under proactively address conservation challenges under near-term actions. Yep, there you go. I didn't understand the change of lead the preparation of a conservation roadmap. But I wondered if what you were trying to say is to be more specific, is to lead the development of a statewide fish and wildlife conservation roadmap. Kim, preparation just seemed clunky.
Development's fine.
Okay, that was good. Then going down to the bottom of that page, I really like this change, and I could hear some of the Eastern Washington stakeholders talking about that we aren't collaborative enough. So what happens here is, instead of saying just flat out, we're going to pursue net ecological gains, blah, 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 what the comments or what the new language says is we're going to work collaboratively with local governments, landowners, and other stakeholders to pursue net ecological gain and additional resources. I like that. Does anybody have any problem with it?
Works for me.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I
credit don't have Jeff with that one.
I don't have a problem with it, so I feel uncomfortable speaking up, but I might have some small tweaks. The one thing that I have, in some of the language that Commissioner Thorburn and I talked about, I had the word "and management" in there, and that was specific to the connection with the private landowners, in regards to like those incentive programs. Land use planning is pretty local government. And then the only other add I would have in here, because you're the Fish and Wildlife Commission, is that encompasses fish and wildlife conservation.
Yeah.
Is that okay, Kim?
Yes, just fine.
Okay, so I didn't write that down, Jeff. You guys make that edit and we'll be great. And then again, this is just clunky, but the just down at the bottom, pursue conservation recovery goals through incentives and if needed regulations. Actually, that's not clunky. I'm fine with that. Is everybody else okay with that?
Yeah, that's more of a carrot than the stick. I think it's a more proactive statement.
Anybody else?
Do we want to use the word improved regulation, or because creating new regulations might trigger some people?
I like that, Jeff.
Okay.
And that kind of reads, hey, we're going to try things out. We're going to monitor and adaptively manage. And that might involve either further enhancements to incentive programs and or, you know, improved regulations.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, so I think the only other, there's two more things that I have in my document like this to talk about. One of them is on the next page, strategy, engage communities through recreation and stewardship. Wait a minute, there you go. So down about in the half, two-thirds of the way down, so that you guys can see how much work Kim did on this thing, but most of it is really just truly like somebody was editor of a law review and went through and edited a paper for grammar. Near the bottom though, there's a thing that does change an idea, which the phrase primarily in urban areas is struck. One of the things that we heard over and over and over is that we need to do a better job in urban areas. So I wondered if instead of striking that completely, we could have a comma and put including in urban areas. And this is also where we're talking about diversity. We go on to talk about diversity at the end of that paragraph. So would including in urban areas be preferable and acceptable is my question.
Yeah, I certainly could live with it. The primarily in urban areas, I thought could be read as, okay, we're reducing the rural areas and we don't need that in this plan at all. So, but including urban areas. And I would point out that it also, urban areas is drawn out in some of the actions below. So, and I'm fine with that. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I'm okay. I just think we have to be really careful that, you know, we're not making rural areas feel they're not, that they're lower level in this plan.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's consistent with our intent. You know, one of the things I hear all the time, especially from rural folks, is, hey, how about you lean into those urban areas so they can do some restoration, so it's not all sitting, the responsibility isn't all sitting on suburban and rural areas. So so that would capture that. At the very first sentence, can we also add fish and wildlife viewing opportunities? Because there are thousands and thousands of people that go to like Ballard Locks or the fish ladders in the Columbia to watch salmon.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, so the last thing that I flagged in this plan that I actually didn't flag, but I thought we should talk about it because Kim flagged it, is under engaged communities through recreation and stewardship under near-term actions. It's on page 16 in the strategic plan. Yeah. So here's the 3R question. Our line says develop a plan to better recruit. The edit question is, don't we already have our R3 plan, and should it be ensure that our plan to recruit is used? Does anybody have a comment on that?
I this is one that we worked very carefully with wildlife program and fish program in particular, as well as carry shop, that we don't have a completed R3 plan yet. I would, I think that David Whipple's done a lot of work as well as the fish program to kind of advance their pieces. And this is another area where the director still is wanting to not leave behind. So how do we do R3 for hunters and anglers more effectively? So that they don't, we're solid on the business side of this and delivering quality and quantity of opportunities for them. And at the same time, really start to maybe dive in as part of that R3 plan into the non-consumptive side of this. So how do we go encourage more, bird watching and et cetera in a sustainable way? But want to make sure that when we write an R3 plan, that it tries to capture as much of the public as possible, while hunters and anglers, feel this is one of their priorities and we're following through on their pieces for sure.
Developed sounded like we're starting from scratch. That was what I reacted to. And Peter presented to us a couple of years ago from marketing, the work that they're doing. We have, and like you said, Hunter Ed, it just doesn't seem like we're going from scratch. The concepts in here are, it was more the develop that I was reacting to. We've got a lot of work that's kind of pulling it together.
We need to replace develop with complete.
Or refine.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I like complete, actually, because we've got a lot of the pieces are there. And then I think that it should be that emphasizes not that's just sort of a hanging phrase that emphasizes increased participation from diverse audiences.
Okay, so in other words, take out it in addition and put that emphasizes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, so that completes, in terms of the plan itself, the issues that the flags that I found. Is there anything that anybody else thinks that we need to talk about in terms of the plan itself?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. And I think Larry had to leave it too, so he's gone. Kim, once again, this plan, for all its work and all the people who have worked on it, kind of needed a final edit, and thank you for doing it. And
my mother-in-law was an editor.
Yeah, well, you can tell. So I wanted to raise another thing, which is the letter from the director is edited heavily. I don't think it's really our job to edit something that the director wrote. I certainly don't think that we can mandate that. So what I'd like to propose is that either Amy or Jeff simply show Kelly the edits that that Kim has suggested and let him make up his own mind. Does that work?
Yeah. I'll shoot it over to Kelly. I think he's on his way back now, so.
How do you feel about that, Kim?
Yeah, I'm okay. I did struggle a lot with the letter. I understand it's from the director, but some of it, as you can see from my editing, kind of bothered me.
Well, my suggestion would be, again, you know, it's not our job to edit the director. If you feel strongly about anything that's in there, and either Jeff or Amy will get this to him, if it, perhaps a private discussion between you and he is in order.
Right. I concur with you, Barbara. I don't think it's our responsibility nor in a purview of our work to edit that. That could be a very dangerous starting point.
Okay, well, let's leave that there for now. And so it is 2:07. This is tough, kind of boring work. And the only thing that we have left to do, aside from reviewing another draft and all of that, is the commission's statement for the plan. Now, the staff came up with a template for us, and then Don and Kim both had edits. I have to say, I kind of liked the approach taken by the agency, and that it made us sound like normal people and not like biologists or any of those other fancy people. I liked the down-home language. If we decide, but the question I have for us is whether we need one of these at all. And I can't remember which commissioner I was talking to, but somebody said, how come we need one of these at all? The statement, the plan speaks for itself. So we can do one of three things. We can put this off till our next Big Tent Committee meeting and edit it. I think we could edit it pretty quickly ourselves. But before we do either of those, does anybody have any strong feelings about whether we need a commission statement to accompany the plan?
If I was going to weigh in, I don't think it's necessary. But if other people feel it's really necessary, I could go along with it. But I don't think it is necessary.
Well, Okay, let's just do it this way then. There's two things in the edited version that Kim sent that I would change if I could. And one is on behalf of Don, which is to include the tribes in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph amongst all the people that we're working with. I don't think anybody's going to have any trouble with that. In the first paragraph, though, the thing that bothered me is the word pledge. And maybe the word pledge comes to me, I don't like it because I come from a legislative background. It sounds too much like a campaign promise. But I don't think this plan is about us promising to do things. I think this plan is about us identifying things that need to be done and then approving a plan that gets them done, or at least starts getting them done. So the only thing that I would do in the first paragraph is where every time it says, I would like to take out pledge and put in the word need. And then we need to continue to be guided by science going forward, we hope every person in the state will believe that we are working on their behalf. That's a good, strong line. But Kim, is that okay with you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, with
but
that,
I just say I'm also totally ambivalent about whether or not this is even in the document. So,
well, let's make those changes. And on Friday, you know, ask the other commissioners. I'm ambivalent too. So, and so is Brad. It says good. I mean, it tells why we chose 25 years. That's not really in the plan in terms of, for some of the species that we're monitoring, they have long turnaround times and all of that. That's not bad. But really, the plan is the important part, not us presenting it. But if we make those changes, then we can just ask the other commissioners on Friday too. Hopefully that'll be a quick conversation. And so with that, my throat's starting to hurt and I'm tired of talking. I wonder, is there anything else that we need to discuss today? Maybe did I miss something? You guys are a quiet bunch.
Well, let me just ask Amy a question. Is now a good time to talk right after?
Yeah, you and I can talk after, sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We've been going back and forth.
Yeah, a lot of voicemails.
Okay, I'll call you.
I'll wait.
Okay.
Okay, Kim, I'm only going to thank you one more time. Thank you. I also want to, you know, this is like one of those Academy Award things, but the work that Carrie and Rob and Jeff and Amy and everybody else has put into this thing has been amazing. I have to admit, about 3 drafts ago, I was starting to despair because of all the reasons. And Nate, actually, I called you because you're so good with a red pen and said, can you cut this down? And so everybody's worked hard on this and I'm starting to get pretty happy with the result. I mean, real happy with the result. So apologies to whoever I forgot to thank, but I think we're all, I think we're all going to come up with something that we can be proud of.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I think I'm going to talk slow, but I'm going to adjourn this meeting and talk to you guys on Friday. Hearing nothing to the contrary, this meeting of the Big Tent Committee is adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Barbara. Thank you.